This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 003 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. We're in day three of launch week for Frankly MSP. So far, we've dropped two episodes in the last 2 days, featuring great interviews with Kevin Royalty of Total Care Computer Consulting, who talked to us about partnering with other MSPs to extend your service mix, and Larry Walsh of the 2112 Group, who gave us the MSP scoop on the giant known as Amazon. You'll find links to both of those episodes at ovic.com/franklymsp. Today marks our third episode, of course, which means another special interview-only episode. My guest today is James Vickery. James is based in Sydney, Australia, and he has an MSP that he founded in 2002. Along the way, he decided to offshore almost his entire team to the Philippines. That experience was so beneficial, but also so painful in many ways, that he recently launched Benchmark 365, which is a consulting and advisory firm to help other MSPs make the leap to offshoring, among other things. In this interview, James and I discuss the differences between outsourcing and offshoring, some of the stumbling blocks he encountered when trying to offshore, some of the payoffs and benefits he reaped, and ways MSPs can use offshoring to rethink their market strategy.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
We start right in with James talking about why he decided to form Benchmark 365.
To cut a long story short, about 5 years ago, we started looking at what were the threats to the MSP model. We started seeing things like, and I'm sure every MSP sees these threats, from software as a service, increased competition, so more MSPs in the market here in Sydney in particular, and also downward pressure. So we found that clients didn't have the same appetite for all-you-could-eat service contracts. In fact, they hadn't increased in several years, and hourly rates haven't increased since really when we started 15 years ago. And so basically, I fortuitously got on a plane and went to the Philippines and started exploring how we would go about setting up a team over there. And in essence, spent 5 years partially living there, traveling back and forth, and building a structure, building a team structure that resembled what an MSP looked like in Australia, and ultimately better than what it looked like in Australia. And what tended to happen out of that is I started getting contacted by other MSPs saying, how did you do that? And can we do it too? And I sort of, as I started to step them through what was involved, a lot of people shied away because it is complex. And ultimately, Benchmark was born. I thought, well, one way we could help these guys is if we offer a private label service where they can leverage what we've done, but they don't have to get on planes and sort of understand different cultures and legal complexities of setting up an offshore structure. That's how it all came about.
So would you consider Benchmark a NOC?
A NOC is a small part of what we do. I think that a lot of IT companies and MSPs, they think about offshore and they think, well, what are some of the things that we don't like doing and are trivial and kind of cheap that we can give to somebody else overseas because maybe they're happier doing that stuff or maybe they have less skills than we do. And what I discovered is that that's only really a very small part of the problem. Like, yes, we do need an after-hours service and, yes, we do need to not have our techs on call 24 hours a day, that sort of stuff. But we ended up discovering through our journey that we could actually build a lot more capability than a NOC and actually have our dispatch, our customer service, our systems engineers, our, you know, network guys, web developers, everything based offshore and have a lot more scale than what we could ever have in Australia where the cost of staffing was so high.
So it really came down to cost factors that had you looking offshore originally.
That is what it started as, yeah. I think when you look at the labor market, and I'm sure this is true for major US cities and it's certainly true in Australia, that the cost of systems engineers is ever increasing and more difficult to find those people when you really need them. And naturally, costs are lower in places like Southeast Asia, in India, in the Dominican Republic. Wage rates are a lot lower. That's how we started. And we thought that we could do like this kind of one-for-one thing. Like we could have, when we needed one level one person, instead of hiring someone in Australia, we would hire them in the Philippines. But what we ended up with is actually saying, well, why just hire one person? Why not have three people tackling this instead? So instead of having one dispatcher who takes annual leave and who is off sick, you know, a few times a year, leaving a gap in our service delivery, we then ended up with several dispatchers. So we have always someone on the phone, always someone following up with customers and so forth. So it started with cost, but now it's more about scale and customer service.
You had initially done an experiment in India and that didn't work out so well. Can you tell us about that?
Firstly, it goes back to what I said before, that it's what we thought we were looking for, but it's not what we needed. So we thought, let's try and just outsource or offshore this annoyance, you know, this after hours thing that, you know, a backup has failed and someone needs to, you know, respond to that and try to fix the problem. And later in our journey, we learned that our problem was much deeper than that. Our problem was being able to service our customers as rapidly as we possibly can. So first problem was looking for the wrong thing. Second problem was that we found by offshoring to India that by no means is this a criticism of the Indian offshoring market, but the service providers that we tried out were, whilst they were able to monitor, they weren't able to rectify complex issues for us. So ultimately what would happen is an alert would be flicked back to our team in Australia to deal with. And that just really wasn't a solution for us. It was just kind of like an extra step in the process. Why not just put it to the person that can actually fix it?
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
You distinguish between offshoring and outsourcing. So what's the difference there?
We should maybe discuss three things there. There's offshoring and there's outsourcing and there's freelancing as well. And many people would know freelancing as using things like Upwork or Fiverr or some of the niche freelance sites. So that's, most people are familiar with freelancing and some people have tried that for providing IT services. That hasn't been particularly successful for us. Offshoring is where you have your own people. You head overseas like I did. You start to build up a team. You rent office space. You actually go through the whole process of building your company and your culture overseas. And outsourcing is where you outsource specific services. So Benchmark, whilst we are offshore, we are an outsource provider and we take over specific services like answering calls, responding to first, second, third level support. Everything that an MSP typically does every day, we have that categorized, cataloged, and we provide that as a direct service to MSPs and we act as their company. So if we answer a call, if we respond to an email, if we update a ticket, it's all done under the brand name of our partner.
So if an MSP was to hire Benchmark 365, that would be outsourcing. But if they wanted to establish their own office, that would be offshoring.
That's correct.
Do you think every MSP should consider offshoring, or are there certain criteria that you need to meet before it's a good idea?
Yeah, that's such a good question. What I believe is that, first of all, MSPs need to have a good look at what's happening around them in the MSP space, but also in the world in general. So what we're seeing is that MSPs are under pricing pressure. They've got software as a service providers nipping at their heels in terms of taking away certain elements that used to be managed by the MSP. There's fierce competition in the MSP space as well. And that's creating a bit of a paradox where staffing costs are getting higher, but customers are not necessarily paying more for that. In addition to that, MSPs, I think, need to start looking at ways that they can add more value to the customer. And one of the things that we experienced is that our customers are demanding things to be faster and faster. The paradox is they don't want to necessarily pay more for IT services, but unlike 5 years ago or 10 years ago where they were willing to wait a little longer to get something fixed, they now expect instant service, particularly around quick fixes or what I would refer to as first time fix, like changing a password or quickly setting up a new email address or user account. So going back to your question, I think that MSPs need to start looking at what are the low value tasks in the customer's mind and can they outsource those or can they automate those using various tools that are on the market now? Going to how that works within the Benchmark sense, we have clients who have well-established MSPs that have said, when we're going to slow down on the hiring process and we're going to start to outsource certain elements. And we have guys that literally are just sales guys. So they've come to us and said, we don't want to hire people. We know that you can already deliver these services. We just want to go out and sell. They've got their product offering. They've got their MSP plans mapped out. and they go out all day, every day, and they win business and we service it. So I don't think it's a size thing, but I think it's important that an MSP owner reflects on what they're trying to achieve in business and whether they want to keep going through this cycle of hiring people and administrating people and trying to bill out guys when there's all of these kind of paradoxical pressures going on.
If someone did want to do it themselves, set up their own offshore operation, what sort of time and money are you looking at?
I think I'll take this back to having a good think about what actually works and what doesn't work. I mentioned earlier about the whole, you know, the one for one thing, like just hiring one guy that might work from home or might work from an office in the Philippines or somewhere else in the world. In my experience, that doesn't work. We tried that. It doesn't work for a number of reasons, but there are logistical reasons, transport reasons, cultural reasons, the different vacation days that they have in one country versus the US or Australia. So my first advice would be to, if you're going to do this, you need to be serious about it. You need to look at hiring a team. And to hire that team, you need to think about, well, what's involved in training and bringing them up to speed. And it's quite a big effort, just like launching any company. So if an MSP is looking at doing this, I'd recommend traveling there and getting to understand the unique nature of doing business in another country. I would suggest that that needs to happen more than once. It's not just a quick flight over and then set up a team and go back. That doesn't work anywhere in the world. But something that we do is we often take businesses on tours. So we'll take them around to different business operations in the Philippines and explain how the process works and kind of give them a bit of a starting push to get set up there. That would be my advice. In terms of a level of investment, dollar cost, that really comes down to how many people are hired and how much management involvement there is in the process.
What's the number one thing that an MSP needs to know about offshoring if it's something they're considering?
That they either need to consider what's involved in building another company. As some of you people that are listening at the moment might have started their business 10 years ago, think about the work and effort that went into that and the lessons that have gone into that. It's no easier to duplicate that and set that up overseas. And I've got a few gray hairs to show for that. So my advice would be to look to partner as quickly as possible rather than kind of starting from ground zero like we did. Obviously, Benchmark is an option for that. There are other service providers out there that could maybe meet a specific need. So my advice would be to do some research and to talk to people. And I'm always here to talk to people about our journey and how we went about it. That's my primary bit of advice, is to be really well researched, number one. Number two would be to talk about it with your team and make sure that they're on board with this and understand the reasons. What's the play behind this? Because I think that can be something that people, if they're not sure why you're doing it, that can cause a bit of a challenge within the team. And having a really open and honest conversation, like that we need to do this, the reason that we want to do it is that we want to increase our customer service, we want to increase satisfaction, and we want to remain profitable as a company. And so this is an option for us, and we're going to go and explore it.
Well, that's great. I'm going to put your contact info in the show notes for today. So anybody who's interested in contacting James, that will all be there in the show notes. Thanks very much, James, for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
That was James Vickery, CEO of Benchmark 365. For more information about James or Benchmark 365 or our topic today, visit the show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/003. And that's a wrap. From here, we'll be settling into a regular bi-weekly schedule. Our next episode comes out October 19th and will feature our What's Going On news segment with Carl Palachuk and Richard Tubb, along with an interview from Beth Burnside of CMIT of Erie on employee utilization. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider showing us some love by leaving a review on iTunes. And remember to subscribe to Frankly MSP in iTunes so you don't miss a single episode. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by AVIC Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.